Still got nothing. There we go. We're live. Well, if you know me very well at all, you will know that I am a sports nut. I love sports. And I especially am a hockey fan. I love hockey. And so on Friday night, I was very, very excited when Canada won World Championship gold in hockey in the under 20s. Yeah. But I was especially excited because this team I felt was a very special team, because in many years past, there would be like a few like really like top talent players that kind of carried the team, and it was all about a few players. Those were the stars, and those stars kind of carried them to victory. But this team was special. This team didn't really have any superstars, but they were such a team. They all worked together. They all knew their roles. In fact, the guy that scored the gold medal winning goal, he hadn't scored a goal in the entire tournament. It was his first goal of the tournament, and it made him the final forward to score a goal in the tournament. 15 different players out of the 20 players scored a goal, and two of them are goalies, so you can't expect too much of them. Pretty incredible. Like, how much of a team they were was really incredible, and it's the reason that they won. And even when you hear interviews from them after the game, they were talking about how excited they were for the guy that scored the winning goal. His name was Tyler Steenbergen. They were so excited for him that he was the one to get the winning goal. They weren't like, oh man, I wish I would have scored that. They were so excited that of all the people, they're like, we're glad it was him. And so it just shows what a team they were. They loved playing together, they loved being a team, and they had success because of it. Now, I don't know what your experience is with teams, whether your experience is positive or negative or what it is, but maybe you've been on a sports team and you've kind of all gelled together and everyone knew their roles and you played your roles well and you were able to have success because of it. Or maybe you've been in a band and you just were really tight and you played really well together and everyone, again, complimented each other, knew each other's roles, and it sounded really, really good. Or maybe it's in your workplace. You just love going to work because you just gel so well as a team and everybody knows what role they play, and it just all comes together and you're really effective as a team in your workplace, and your business is having success because of it. But I'm also going to hazard a guess that some of us have really negative experiences with teams. Teams where there's just a lot of infighting and nobody gets along and everybody's egos get in the way and everybody wants to be the person that is the star of the team. And it just doesn't work, whether it's a team or a band or a workplace setting. It just doesn't work. I've had both of those, both positive and negative experiences in team settings. And it's really awesome when you get the positive experience, but it can be so life-sucking when you get on a negative team and it just doesn't work. And the church, in a way, is a lot like a team. Everybody has different roles. Everyone has something to contribute. And when we have relational unity with one another and when we're able to work together towards the same common goal and mission, it's incredible what God does through the church. But maybe you're here this morning and you've also experienced the opposite. You've been part of church where it's been messy and people have been hurt and people just didn't seem to work together and people's personal agendas were put above the mission of the church and it just hasn't worked. And you've just have that hurt, that past hurt from just a really negative church experience. Well, this morning, the passage that we want to wrestle with and work through in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul kind of sets out how the church can be an effective team, how they can work together and have unity towards a certain goal or purpose. And so if you have your Bible, if you brought a Bible today, you can turn to Ephesians chapter 4. You're welcome to look it up on your phone as well. I won't judge you or think you're texting. Even if you are, I still won't judge you. Be a little sad for myself, but, you know, it's all good. And so, and also it'll be on the screen behind you. If you don't have access to either of those, you're welcome to follow along on the screen as well. So Ephesians chapter 4, it starts by saying, Paul, he's talking about himself, he's a prisoner. He says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Now, if you said yes to Jesus, if you've accepted him into your life, made him the Lord of your life, you decided to follow him, then you are now called a son or a daughter of God. You're part of God's family. And as part of his family, you are part of the church that has a calling. And the calling of that church... And my clicker just died. The calling of that church, if you guys can get me a new battery, that'd be awesome. The calling of that church, then, is for us to come together, to see people come to know God and be in relationship with Jesus, and to grow in that relationship so that they then can become mature, effective believers. And that they can follow, and that they can be filled with the characteristics of love and joy and peace and patience and all these different kinds of things, and can be effective in leading more people into being a part of this. Like, it's such an incredible thing that God calls and allows us to be part of this mission. It's such a compelling mission to be a part of connecting people to a relationship with the God, the Creator of everything. It's such an incredible call. And the incredible thing about it to me is that each one of us can be a part of that call. None of us can just say, well, you know, I don't really have anything to offer. Yes, you do. All of you have something to offer. And so actually, as we go through this whole teaching, that's one of the things I want you to be kind of thinking about and wrestling through is, what can I contribute? What role can I play as a part of the church to enable God to be able to really work effectively in our community? What is God calling me to? And so let's continue to look at the passage and see what characteristics Paul calls us to live like as followers of him. If you guys can click it to the next passage, that would be awesome. Next passage. There you go. Be completely humble and gentle. Thanks a lot. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. So, we're given a few characteristics that will help lead to unity with one another. The first is humility, and humility was not a common thing then. In fact, Christianity is really what brought this concept of humility more to the forefront, and the Greeks didn't even have a really good, strong word for humility because it was more about bravado and showing your strength and power in that culture. And so this idea of being humble and putting others before yourself and putting the mission of the church first and the well-being of all ahead of just your own personal well-being was kind of a foreign concept. And so it says, be gentle, be patient. Be patient and bear for one another in love. When we have these kind of characteristics, when we live this kind of way, it can lead to these kind of environment where we have relational unity with one another. And the way that we can have these relational unity, Paul shows us how. He says it's by remembering this, that there is one body, one spirit. We all share the same Holy Spirit. Just as you were called to one hope, we all have the same hope that we will spend eternity with God because of our relationship with Jesus. We're called one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. We have increased relational unity with one another when we remember and we live remembering that we have a common God, a common faith, and a common mission. Because the church, in the church, it's made up of diverse people who come from diverse backgrounds, and we have so many different opinions, so many different preferences. We're so different in so many ways, the people that make up the church. And yet, the way that we can live in unity with one another is when we remember this. We remember the commonalities that we actually have. We remember, what do we have in common? We have the same God, same Holy Spirit that lives in us. We have the same faith, and we have the same mission that we're all working towards, to see more people come to know Jesus and to become mature in what it means to follow him and live out his teachings. And when we remember this, when we put this first, it leads to increased relational unity. The passage continues, and we're in verse 11, it says this. It says, Christ, Jesus, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. So he gave first of all, apostles, these entrepreneurial types that would go and they would start different works in different places, and they would kind of do these church plants, and then they would put people in charge of them. And then they would flourish, and then they would go on to the next place to start a new work. So first of all, there was these apostles, and then there were prophets, people who understood God's word and could really apply it and call people out to live differently than the culture was living, and to live according to the way God had called them to. And so there were prophets and evangelists, people that were skilled at sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus, that he was God's son, and that he came and he lived with us and he died and he rose again, and that we can be in relationship with God because of it. They were just so effective at this. And so there was evangelists, and there was pastors who would come alongside and encourage and equip people, and teachers that were just effective at taking God's word and opening it up in a way that people could understand it and apply it to their lives. It says he gave all these different roles, all these different callings. Why? To equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of fullness of Christ. All these roles, all these different roles were given so that everyone that is a part of the church can be built up, because everybody has a role to play. We all have acts of service that we can live out. The amazing thing about thinking, when we think of the church in this idea as a team, is that in the church, there's nobody who has to sit on the bench. There's nobody who just sits in the stands and watches. We all get to play. We all have an important role to play in the team, and in seeing the team succeed in its mission. And those that maybe are in leadership positions, their whole responsibility and role is to just equip and empower everyone to be able to be more effective in the role that they are playing, in the mission that God has given them, in the grander mission that he has. It's incredible. We all have a role to play in the mission Jesus has for his church. And the incredible thing is when this happens, when people are equipped and the leaders are equipping people that are following Jesus, and there's this relational unity and it all comes together, powerful things happen for the kingdom of God. And an example of this is what's going on right now in Thailand and Myanmar amongst the Burmese people. Some of you may remember last year we talked about how we were partnering with these church plants in Thailand and Myanmar, and they became like sister churches to us, and we were giving to them and we were praying for them. And they just went through a season where they were doing Christmas outreaches. And an incredible thing happened. Over 1,000 people gave their lives to Jesus over the Christmas season as they did these outreaches. Just incredible what God is doing. But one of the values, if you ever get an opportunity to go over there and see what they're doing and be a part of what they're doing as I have, is that from the moment someone becomes a part of the church, right away, they get them involved in serving and doing something and finding what their role is. And sometimes it takes them a while to figure out where they fit when they first become part of the church and figuring out what role they play. But I want to encourage you, if that's you and you're maybe a part of the church and you're like, I just don't know what role I play, I want to encourage you, one of the best ways to find out what role you play and how God has gifted you is by trying things. Just try and serve. Just try and serve in different capacities and you'll discover how God has gifted you. And God will use the different ways that you serve and build on that to prepare you for what comes next, because he doesn't waste anything. And what you're doing now will always prepare you for what comes next. And that's what's happening in Thailand and Myanmar, and it's incredible. So what I want to do is I actually want to show you a little bit of a highlight video of what's going on over there. So let's take a look.
You
It's pretty incredible to see what's going on over there. And I just want to say thank you, because so many of you gave towards this. We were able to raise, I think it was like $27,000 or $28,000 to go towards this church planting initiative last year. And I know many of you have been praying for the church plants over there, and so I just want to say thank you because of your generosity in both the areas of prayer and giving. That's part of what enables things like this to happen over there. And if you want to continue to give in 2018, you can just mark on your envelope, on your offering envelope, Thailand Church Planting, and we'll make sure it gets designated there. And a portion of the church budget also goes towards that. So thank you in that way. But one of the things, when I see something like that, one of the questions that it now stirs in me, and a question that I want to ask you, is this: why not in Prince George? Why not in Prince George? Why not in 2018? Why not as a church? Why not believe that this can happen here? Why not believe it? And not only why not believe it, why not pray for it to happen? Why not mobilize and come together in unity to actually work towards it? We cannot control a move of God's Spirit, but we can be prepared to be open and receptive for when it comes. And with that in mind, I want us to think through three things this morning. The first is this: what role can you play in fulfilling the calling of the church? Because each one of you has a role to play. What can you contribute? What can you give? How can you give of your time and your money and your finances and gifts and abilities and just all of that you have? How can you give of that so that the church might be effective in its calling this year? The second thing is this: are there things in your life that you need to surrender to Jesus? Because you know that they're first in your life, and you know that you can't be as effective for God's kingdom as maybe you'd hope to be or like to be, because those things are getting in the way. And so this year, would you choose to surrender everything to Jesus? Your dreams, your ambitions, your money, your time, everything. Would you just say, Jesus, it's yours. However you call me, whatever you lead me to do, I will say yes. I will say yes. This year will be a year of saying yes to you for me and surrendering to you. Is there something that you need to surrender this morning? And then the last thing is, are there areas of relational disunity in your life that need to be addressed? Are there people that are a part of this church that you know you need to make a relationship right with? My encouragement as the prayer team, elders and staff and prayer people from Wednesday mornings, as they make themselves available here on the front couple rows, or front row here, to pray with anybody who wants to pray about any of these things or anything else even, is this: if you need to pray and surrender things to Jesus, come and do it this morning. If you just want to say, Jesus, I want to give all that I have and I want you to show me what role you have for me this year, feel free to come and pray. If you need to make things right with somebody else in the church today, can I encourage you? Why not do it now? If they're here and you're here, why not do it now? Or at least do it this week. Because the mission that God has given us is too important to allow personal differences to get in the way. And so I encourage you to make any relationship that is not in a good place right now in the church, between you and someone else in the church, I encourage you to make it right this week, or take steps towards that, because I know sometimes these things take time. But as we worship together, if you feel the Holy Spirit stirring you to come and pray, you come and pray. And if you feel the Holy Spirit stirring you to go and just speak to somebody else that you need to make a relationship right, then just respond to the Spirit according to how the Spirit is leading you.